Well, greetings. Good to see you this morning, and just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of our folks in South Texas may not be able to be with us this morning. The hurricane came in there, actually yesterday and I guess last night. We've been in contact with them. And in some cases, they have power. In other cases, not too far from them, they've lost power. And so it comes and goes with this kind of weather. Most of us are familiar, at least at some point in time, with the losing of power because of some kind of weather disruption. So let's just remember them today. You know, a tornado is a tornado, or a hurricane is a hurricane, in different levels, but it's always a lot of wind and a lot of rain. And I think that this is not one that would wipe the city out, but it certainly is one that interferes with a lot of different kind of functionings. So, but they'll be able to be with us whenever they can, as these are available, not only live, but in a recorded session. So we just invite all of you that are with us to just join with us this morning in setting our hearts upon seeing Christ. And we welcome you from coast to coast and around the world, wherever we may be finding you today. We trust that we're finding you in Christ Jesus, and that we are finding the Lord's body and just throughout the Lord's body and around the world. So we're gathered together today in Him. Now we've been talking about the reality of our being in Christ. This could go on for several lifetimes and should. Not necessarily always the titles that we're giving it in some of these little meditations, but the reality of our union with Christ, the reality of our salvation. Paul uses the term enough that we certainly have the right to use it also with regard to our salvation, and that is in Christ, being in Christ. And that's what we're dealing with. Last week, I just made reference to that using the term a new creation in Christ. Well, that's part of the reality of being in Christ. And I still want to talk about that today, a new creation in Christ, because it has to do with you and I living on earth and living in these earthly vessels. As we are in the heavens, living on earth as in heaven, living on earth as in Christ. Not trying to live in Christ as on earth, that won't work. And that's being taught under a lot of different headings, and that sometimes if you didn't listen real closely, you wouldn't catch a hold of it. But throughout the church world, we are told and given certain steps on how to be better Christians, on how to prepare ourselves for this or that, how not to have a temper, and how all of the how-tos and how not-tos. We have just taken grace and made a law out of it. Not the law of life, however, but the law of do's and don'ts. Paul talks about this both in Ephesians and in Colossians, where he says, if ye then be dead with Christ to the rudiments of the world. And he's speaking there not of the planet, but of the age, and primarily there of the world of the old covenant, the world under the law. And you can read it because he said, teach not, touch not, handle not, and so forth. If ye then be dead, then why, as though living therein, are you subject to all of these? And he starts listing what is taught in the law. Well, that's trying to live on earth as in heaven, as in Christ. The reality comes when we live, the reality comes when we do live on earth as in Christ. I said that backwards. Rather than trying to live in Christ according to how we would like to live religiously on earth. We just get it backward, trying to live on earth something that is only found in Christ. But you see, the point is that when we find it there, we do live accordingly on earth. So the term I'm using is living on earth as we are in Christ. Living in Him daily. Living in the reality of our union with Him. Not living on earth as though we were in Christ, living on earth in the understanding of being in Christ. And there's so many facets to that, and we're just taking one or two at a time. So we're looking at the new creation in Christ. Janie was singing a song a while ago. There is no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. Now, we know that as far as our salvation is concerned, as far as our union is concerned, a new creation being in Christ, and here, Christ is come. But there's about seven different definitions, Greek words, defining what we put in one word, one English word, come. And so it's not only that He is come in a very definite way, but also that He comes in His appearings. In His appearings. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That doesn't mean now He will come to be in you, but when the one who is in you appears. That is, when He is revealed. That is, when in the light of His countenance, the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we see Him, and we comprehend in that seeing that we are in Him where He is, in us. And that's what Colossians says in Colossians 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. It doesn't leave anything out. Those four verses are tremendous because they're building upon what Paul started, well, in chapter 1, And then enlarges in chapter 2 when he talks about the understanding and the greatness and the glory of the understanding of Christ given of God concerning that we come to be established in that mystery of God, which is Christ. And then he continues. And then he says, for in Him, Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, because He's talking to us there as the body of Christ. He's talking to us there just like He does in Ephesians, talking to us as those who are in Christ, not are going to be one day. He talks to us as those who are in Christ. That's who He's talking to. He's writing letters to the church, to those that He has been with, and some of them in their homes and in their cities. He knows who they are. And so He's writing to those that are in Christ Jesus. He is come, and He is the ever-coming One. And see, what we want to do is see that. Let's use this over here as just being, this is the world. The world. We want to see His comings here rather than live here according to His comings here in us. We want to see Him here. There has already been one. The first. When He came to take away the first. He's not going back to the cross again, honey. He isn't going through that humiliation, much more than that, that sorrow, that death. He doesn't need to do it again. He did it right the first time. He did it abundantly the first time. So He doesn't need to come back again, born of a woman, made under the law. Or in any visible way. He doesn't need to come back and finish something that He started. He is the finish of what He started, because He is the starting of it as well. And He's in you. And there is always an ongoing work of the Spirit of God in you and I with regard to our relationship with Him. That it is always growing and abounding and filling and opening our eyes and transforming. But hon, that's the work of the Spirit of God going on here in a new creation in Christ. Not you. That is you. Unfortunately, as here where Paul was writing, can you imagine that 2,000 years ago, he was trying to convince not only the Jews, but Christian Gentiles. And by that I don't mean when I say Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles, the church. He was trying to convince the church of what we're sitting here 2,000 years later talking about, because the church world is still having the same problem. Now there's many within that church world, many who have been born again, who have come, who have seen Him, who have preached Him, and in the flesh who have died, and others come. But you also still have the same problem. Even among Christians, if not particularly among Christians, of trying to understand a supernatural salvation with a natural mind. A salvation of the Spirit with a soulish, self-centered mind. Still trying to make it work. His appearings are many and often in the new creation. And if we walk in the light, now notice how that is said. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. See, we try to make our little candles the source of that light. And then we want to argue with each other about who's got the best candle. Who has the largest candle? Whose candle is burning brighter? Until it just finally burns down and goes away, and then you have to get you another candle. I'm talking about all the silly doctrines. I'm not saying that doctrines are silly, but the silliness of some doctrines and the things that, the issues that it brings about in the body of Christ. It doesn't bring about any issue out here among sinners. They really just don't care. It brings about issues in the body of Christ. All got our little candle. And we sing these songs. Now, I know we mean good, those that do sing it, you know, this little light of mine. But then you see that leads down a wrong road, hon. And I'm not trying to tear up all the songs, but when I hear things like that, I think, yeah, everybody thinks they got this little light. And then they show the little children. Well, that's all well and good if we understand who the light is. And that it's not mine to control. If we walk in the light, and hon, that's the light of life. You cannot separate life from light. You can't do it. I'll be talking about that. Well, real quickly now, in making the monthly CD for August, looking at life and light, because you can't separate the two. It is Christ. But we must walk in the light. Walk in the light. Not of our candles and flashlights and no, because you simply can't walk there. But we walk in the light as He is in the light. Then fellowship. Then we have true fellowship. So I was saying when Jenny sang the song, because we wrote this a long time ago, we're talking about the coming of the Prince of Peace in His kingdom, His showing Himself, and we seeing Him, an appearing of Him in the midst of whatever situation we may be in here in the world, out there in the visible creation. He appears here And here is where we find peace. And here is where we abide or stand, demonstrate that peace, having found that peace in Him who is come and who lives in us. But as I said, He is the ever-coming one. He is the ever-coming one. He comes in light. He comes in light. He who is life appears in light. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. And if we are walking here in the light as He is in the light, sweetheart, it will have an effect here in the world. I don't know whether it'll affect the world or not, but it'll have an effect upon you in the world because you're there living in Him. I was thinking about this yesterday and looking at John 17 again. You might want to look at John 17 when He says, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world. I'm asking you to keep them in it. Sanctify them by Thy word. Thy word is truth. And yet He talks about them being where I am, that they may behold My glory. And there's nothing there that says after they die and go to heaven. No, He's talking about the same thing right on through, and He's praying for those just before the cross that He's just going to leave but return and dwell in them. That as He is in them, so they may be in Him. And that's what John 17, it just gathers up 14, 15, 16. You need to read it because it is concerning the new creation in Christ Jesus. Tremendous reality there. Well, all right, a new creation in Christ. Now, I think last week I read to you out of this, one of our manuals, The Recovering of Christ, just down to this point, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation in Christ. So there's no point in staying with in reading that again. But I do want to look at some verses with you again, at least a few of them. Starting in 2 Corinthians 4, if I'm not mistaken, this is where we started Sunday in 2 Corinthians 4. We could easily go back to chapter 1, and most particularly chapter 3. Because when you begin to see this, you begin to realize that these are things that are true with regard to a new creation in Christ. And yet we have precious believers that I've talked to in one way or another all of my life, sitting down, talking to them in a living room, here or there, so confused with regard to much that this says because they're trying to understand it from the standpoint not of being in Christ, but of just being on earth, period. in these earthly bodies waiting to go to a better place. But Paul is writing to the better place right here. Not just of it, he's writing to it. He is writing to them, beholding them in Christ, and Christ in them. Just look at these verses again. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 4. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts. I really thought about staying with this for the little session today, but I thought again. We'll look at this at a different time. What I'm looking at is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Just that. To shine out of darkness. What darkness? Well, all right. Hath shined in our hearts. So let's right now just look at it for God, and we'll just go by the commas here. For God hath shined in our hearts to give. Now see, here is to walk in the light as He is in the light. This is Paul writing now. John is saying the same thing. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where can that be found except in Christ? And those who are in Christ. For it is speaking of Christ in you. And in Him you seeing, in Him, you beholding the light of understanding, the light of the knowledge. You're beholding Him. You by the Spirit of God are hearing His voice, because that's the way you hear it. You're hearing His voice. I am. I am. Sometimes in my heart and soul, the thought that is not mine, so comes forcefully, catches me at different times, does you too, I'm sure. I can be driving, whatever. But it's the Lord, and I hear it. I hear His voice. Look at me. Look at me. You ever heard someone say, look at me when I'm talking to you, please? You ever wanted to say that to somebody? But it's the Lord who says in my soul, look at me. Behold. Behold. the knowledge of the glory of God. My, my. That's a view of Him some of our hearts have never experienced, and yet He's there for that expectation, for that experience. And soon He becomes the expectation of our heart. We live in expectation concerning the One who is come and is in us. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, that is, in the person, in the front of, in that which Moses was not allowed to see. In the face, in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Ah, here we go. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here we sit. And you're seeing an earthen vessel sitting right here. And I'm seeing that in you. But in that earthen vessel, hon, we have a treasure that is beyond anything that you could find in the world out there, the world that is passing, and that as far as a new creation is concerned, a world that is past. And we have passed from death into life. Glorious reality there. That's in John 5. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what does he mean by that? Look at these next few verses. Here's where the excellency of His power is made manifest. Right here. You can't just throw that verse away and act like, I don't know why that's there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. I mean, it's another sentence. We are troubled. Where? Outwardly. Outwardly. You're going to see him in a little bit, if we get that far, as the outward man in the earthen vessel. We are troubled in the earthen vessel. But concerning the treasure, which is Christ in you, not forsaken. Your trouble never gets any farther than the circumference of the flesh. Unless we invite it into our hearts. And then the trouble is not really there. We're just thinking that it is. It's rather like standing in a storm and then letting the storm get in you. Let it take over your mind, your feelings, your everything. Well, it does that in the natural quite often. But then being in Christ is not a natural place to be. By that I mean it's not a place that we are by the natural. It'd be nice if it would just in every Christian become the natural place to be because of our union with Christ. But look at this. And this is a man that was, he's going to be telling us, I mean, somebody's trying to kill this guy every day because he's preaching life. But he's preaching a life that is contrary to the one that they are living. They are living natural lives. He is talking about that life which is Christ and not natural at all. Declaring a whole different concept of life. Hun, he's declaring a whole different concept of their birth. He is declaring a whole different concept of the creation that they now are in Christ. A whole different concept. And as we go down these verses, you'll see it. It's written, and if we don't get down through there, read this chapter. Read it. A whole different concept of the creation we now are. A whole different concept of life as we know it, as we have it in Christ. So, we are troubled on every side. And that's in the earthen vessel. Yet not distressed. See, that's where Christians come to fall down, right there. It doesn't take, in many cases, unfortunately, hon, troubles on every side. Just one bad trouble from time to time will sometimes bring them into a distressed condition. Wondering why God could have ever let something like this come upon me. And there could be Christians around the world, all around the world, facing much more trouble. And singing songs of victory. I mean, we never know. But Paul knows here because he talks about what he and those that are with him are facing every single day. And it is not complaining. If you look at it, there's no complaints here. We are perplexed. This is outwardly in the earthen vessel. But look at this, hon. But not in despair. You know, when things when I'm perplexed, for some reason, or maybe several reasons, or whatever the reason, and just get to a point where I don't understand. I don't understand why somebody would, I don't understand why, I don't understand how, I don't understand. And if you're not careful, you'll start trying to understand. You'll start trying to understand a person whose actions or words or whatever or lack thereof just totally has you confused and you're perplexed. Could be that or something else. But he's saying here, and he uses this term, we are perplexed. but not in despair. And I know at those times, sometimes they last a matter of seconds, sometimes longer, but I know the answer in every case is to see Christ. Why? Because that brings me into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It brings understanding, not concerning this situation out here, but concerning this reality. And all of a sudden, hon, all of a sudden, there's nothing wrong anywhere. I mean, it's like I'm not here in this world. Truth has brought me to see I'm not. No, I didn't get an answer to some person or place or thing to where I understand it now. No. The point is, here, the understanding comes here. And this whole thing is just done away. And you know, after that, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Somebody will say, well, I don't understand it. Can you explain to me why somebody would... And I don't even want to talk about it. Because here in this world, because there isn't any understanding for it. I mean, unless you want to start, you know, psychoanalyzing the flesh, well, I don't. It ain't going to do you any good if you do. Yours or anybody else's. I'm telling you, darling, in Christ, the answer is seeing Christ. And it just takes the other away. I mean, it's gone. You know how it's gone? It's gone because it's gone out of me. It's gone because it's gone out of me. It's gone out of my... It's gone. I mean gone. Not just, well, I'm a good person and I can live with it. No, that's just a bunch of... Oh, my. No. That's just self-righteousness. It's gone because it's gone out of me. It's gone because I come to realize it's not I but Christ. See, honey, it always... Here's what we forget in these verses. It always leads back to... But we have this treasure. And I was thinking about this morning. And then my mind went to another place where I'm spending time right now. I was going to spend some time with you today there, but may not. Hebrews. But we have such a high priest. And then he goes, but several times he'll say that, but we have. And it's always Christ. And he says that just like that should answer all of this that I've been saying to you about the old covenant and what he's been saying to them. And then he just says, okay, in one place, chapter 8, he just says, okay, here's the sum of the matter. And he said a lot. I mean, he's come through Melchizedek, Abraham. He's come through the rest that Christ has entered into. And he's come through all of those things. And then he says, well, here's the sum of the matter. We have such a high priest. And darling, you know, that's it. Here's the sum of this matter we're talking about right here. We have such a life. Because that's what it all comes to. And I'd like to share that in this CD that we're doing. Because the Lord's been dealing with me about it. Raven and I were talking about it the other day. Life. The whole issue is life. Now, I know in religion we've cut it up into so many little pieces you couldn't get it together in a bean bag anymore. Too many little pieces. One of them called, we got a doctrinal name for it, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And you go to church, you hear all of that preached. But the whole issue of our union with Christ, the whole issue of our salvation is life. Life. Three different terms of life. And one of those terms pinpoints Christ. It's eternal life. Eternal life. Not soul life. One of them actually means soul life. When Jesus says, forsaketh not his own life, it means it's the word there is soul. That kind of life, soul life. But we're talking about that life which is Christ himself. And that's what this whole thing comes right down to. What we're talking about here. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Now, those boys were certainly being persecuted. I don't know whether you and I ever have been or not. But these guys were. And that's in the outward. The earthen vessel. But not forsaken. Christ in us. And I want to tell you something, honey. Our high priest is not just an advocate, as it is so often taught today. He in one place, we're in another, and he really feels sorry for us. So he's doing his best to get God to take care of us. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, this is the way it's being said. He's done more than that. He hath quickened us together, raised us together, seated us together as one body, in heaven, in himself, in Christ. And he dwells in you, who are now a new creation in Christ. He's done more than him being in one place pleading our case. That's not the picture at all. Our Comforter lives in us. The one who never forsakes lives in us. Never. The life that never ceases to live lives in us. The life who never has known death and never will know death. That's the eternal life. You know what Jesus gave, do you not? He gave his soul. That life. Do you know the Bible calls the resurrection of life? I found the term. The resurrection of life. It means where there's life, resurrection is there. Because there's only one resurrection out from among the dead in sin, the separated from God. And that resurrection is that Christ live in you. He brings the whole thing with Him. Life Himself. My Lord and my God. You know, it just hit me that yesterday, last night, what Jesus is actually talking about in John 5, and I believe it's verse 18 or 19 concerning the graves. And those in the graves hearing His voice. I got up and walked around and laughed all over the center over there. I thought, my Lord and my God. Because it becomes so simplistic when you get all of your twisted theology out of the way and realize we're in Christ. This whole thing, I mean, we're in Christ. It is not events we're talking about. It's a reality of Christ to which we come. Well, we'll leave that as it is. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down. Never of the one that is in you, however. Cast down, but not destroyed. These are terrible words, and a word search will help you to understand what Paul was really saying, because a lot of times we don't, you know, destroyed. We're never brought. He was saying we are never brought, and he's saying much more than this, but one of the things, we're never brought to a total ineffectiveness. No. It cast us down. We manifest life to them. That's what he comes on to say. I mean, you know, they're doing everything to our mortal bodies that they can. Of course, they hadn't come to the worst part yet. I mean, what they did to his mortal body. But in the doing of it to him, life. His life in Christ was made manifest in that very mortal body. You understand what I just said? Not changed the mortal body. It didn't become transformed or transfigured. While death worked in him, he ministered life to those that were killing him. And Paul ministered by the spirit of life that was in him. And that's what he's saying here. If people could just get it right, what he's actually talking about, rather than run around saying, well, you know, we just got to suffer a whole lot for Jesus. The point is, Paul didn't think they were suffering. I'm going to jump to this. Where's the numbers, guys? I saw one and I didn't pay any now. Is it about? Okay, thank you, Raven. All of this that was taken, here, verse 18, chapter 4, verse 16. Let's just jump down here to that. Because it's saying the same thing. And look how it's saying it. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16. For which cause, and he's talking about for your salvation, for the fact that we know that God is being glorified in Christ, in you, that many are coming forth to the glory of God. And he says, for which cause we faint not. You know, get tired and quit. But though our outward man perish. Now this is exactly what we've been reading. This, he's referring back to what we've just been reading. Same chapter. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction He isn't, you understand, hon, he's not trying to find glory in the heaviness of the sufferings or whatever. No. So that we get our, you know, our purple hearts for all of the wounds we've taken and all of this kind of stuff. It hasn't affected Paul at all. Now, I'm going to show you something in this next verse. I want you to look at it. Because this is, I want you to look. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Yeah. Yeah, every moment of every day. But for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So help me, I have heard person after person get up and preach, the more you suffer, the more your glory, the more you... And he's talking about these kind of things that Paul was talking about, except nobody in modern day Christians have been into these kind of things unless they were trapped over in China back during the 40s. But my point is, honey, no. That isn't what is being said here at all. Look, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While, there's no period there. While, when does it do that, Paul? When is all of this that you're going through working for you a more eternal weight of glory? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And he goes right on to say, I mean, it's in the next chapter, but it's the same right on. For we know that if our earthly house, and then he starts talking about the two houses, the two bodies, one spiritual, eternal, in the heavens. He talked about it when he was writing the letter to the Hebrews as well. In chapter 9, 8 and 9. Not a building of this creation, but eternal, made without hands. He's saying the same thing right here in Corinthians that he did in Hebrews 8, 9 and 10. He's saying the same thing. Because he's speaking from the same understanding. How is an eternal weight of glory? Because we're looking at it. Because God has... Come on. Back in our text here. God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He hasn't quit talking yet. In this letter... This is a letter. He's only come down a couple of paragraphs, maybe, if he would. Because we see Jesus. In all of this, we see life. You're seeing death, we're seeing life, and ministering life unto you. We bear death and minister life. And that's because, he goes on to say, we have already borne His death within. We now live as those who are crucified with Christ. We now live as those who have no life, but that life which is Christ. That's how he's talking here. That's how he's talking here. We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, then one day, probably in 2,000 years or maybe more, we'll get a better one. I'm sorry. That was facetious for me to even take time to say. But we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building. Please read Hebrews 9:11. You might want to read it right now. We probably got it time to read it together. If I can find it quickly enough to read it together. Any other time it'd fall open, my Bible would, to Hebrews, instead of falling all around it. Hebrews 9:11. Oh, look here, I had it. I did this morning. I had that marked out and forgot it. 9:11. But Christ being B-E-I-N-G, being come. Here in the new creation. He is come. Christ being come. A high priest of good things to come. The good things that were to come under the other high priest. Christ is the high priest of those things. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Right back over where we're reading in Corinthians. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, which is translated in the Greek as creation. Creation. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is exactly what he, and why wouldn't it be, what he is teaching here with reference to Christ, our high priest. It is not the outward man, darling, it is the inward man with which we are concerned. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Well, our time is gone, but I just wanted to go through these verses, and we're still not through them, because I thought it would be good to just look at this and just talk about it while we read the letter that he wrote. Because sometimes we just, you know, we make little verses out of it and little sayings out of it. And we miss the reality. And the reality is of our being in Christ. Folks, thank you this morning for being with us. Both here, we're here together. And those that are with us on the internet, may the Lord richly bless you. If there's any way that we can be a blessing, a help to you, over and above what we're now doing, well, don't hesitate to let us know. Thank you so much, you who stand with us, for the advancement, for the increase and outreach of this gospel throughout the body of Christ and around the world. Thank you for your support. May the Lord richly bless you for it. Amen. That's it. Thank you, guys.